Hello, you're listening to Abide and Thrive Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to be a reminder, to be an encouragement, and to uplift you in your walk with God. So join me as we unravel scripture and just learn what it means to abide in Him in our everyday life. So go grab your journal and go grab your pen and let's get into it together. Abide and Thrive Podcast. I'm your host, Bria, and I am looking forward to episode 6. Welcome to episode 6 of the podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about having idols in our heart and what the Bible has to say about having idols. And so before we get started, I want to pray us in this episode. Lord, I thank you, God, for episode 6 of this podcast, and I pray, God, that you would just have your way. I thank you for giving me this topic to talk about and allowing me to just evaluate my heart and the idols that I may have in my heart. I pray that you will just use me, speak through me, Lord, and may there be less of me and more of you, God, and allow your Holy Spirit to move. I give you the space and I give you the time to do so, and I pray that this podcast episode will plant seeds in hearts to really think about what idols they are placing in their hearts, that are what things that they're treasuring up that are coming before you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We thank you for your word. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. So guys, as we hop into this episode, I want to just take some time to talk about what idolatry is, what idols are, and just talking about the consequences of having idols in our heart. And so one person says, idolatry is the principal crime of human race, the highest guilt charge upon the world, purging the judgment of God. Someone else says that idolatry is an idol. Someone else says, my heart is an idol-making factory. What are the things that I find to be absolutely essential for life other than Jesus? This man, Martin Lloyd-Jones, says, an idol is anything in our lives that occupies the place that should be occupied by God alone. Anything that is central in my life, anything that seems to me essential, an idol is anything by which I live and on which I depend on. Anything that holds such a controlling position in my life that it moves, rouses, and attracts too much of my time, energy, and money. And I also want to just read the Urban Dictionary definition of an idol. The Google definition of idol is extreme admiration, love, or reverence for something or someone. And so as we go on into this episode, I want you to think about, do my actions match my heart? And something that I found pretty interesting was, what we believe will move to match our actions. And so what are we believing and how are our actions impacting our life? Also, think about ways to write down and evaluate and ask the Holy Spirit to evaluate your beliefs and your, so that your actions will align with His will. And don't be afraid. He's not afraid of your questions, your doubts, or your concerns. And so don't be afraid to bring them to Him because He cares for them. Also, ask yourself, what in my life is causing my mind to live in distance with God, and what have I put before Him? What have you put before Him? And ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of these things you put above Him. And so as we're going through this episode, just jot down some things that you feel come to your heart, feel come to your mind about those questions. So here we go. The Bible warns us about keeping our hearts away from idols. And scripture actually says in 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery. And so turn away from adultery. Turn away from things that are taking away your time, your energy, and your focus from me. And you're probably wondering, well, Bria, what are idols? Like, I kind of went over it, but you're probably wondering, you probably still don't understand what idols are. Or you're probably saying, how do I know when I created an idol in my heart? And so I'm going to give you some examples of what they are. And yeah. And so many things can creep into our hearts as hidden idols. And they could be good things that turn into idols, and some things are just more obvious than others. And so some examples of idols are maybe a car that you love, or a car that you have that you just bought, or a job, or a calling, or working out and working and going to the gym can be an idol, or like focusing so much time and energy on your body. And yes, our bodies are temples. Yes, our bodies are important. And yes, we need to be in physical and shape and health to like spread the gospel and be active citizens of the body of Christ. We can't be like unhealthy and eating cheeseburgers every single day, of course. But anyways, our bodies can be an idol. If we put too much time, focus too much of our energy and worship our bodies, that could become an idol. Or even being in a relationship can be an idol. And marriage can be an idol. We can hold a spouse in place of God and allowing them to dictate our emotions and how we feel, and just placing that partner or that spouse or that friend or that boyfriend or that girlfriend above the Lord can become an idol. Food can become an idol. Sometimes us girls, or it actually literally anyone, could use food as an idol. I would say us girls, because I personally use food to comfort sometimes. Like, I love sweets. I love a nice warm brownie. I love brownies. And so sometimes we can use food, but this goes for anyone, not just girls. We can use food as comfort. We can use food as idols. Sometimes we like spend so much money on food, or yeah. Pride can be an idol, or lust can be an idol, or religion can be an idol, or a movie or a TV show, or money, or our passions and desires and dreams can be an idol. Social media can be an idol. I know this one may hit home or be more familiar to some than others. Social media can be an idol. Posting for satisfaction or getting likes and comments and the buzz can make you feel important and make you feel seen and heard, which makes you want to continue to post, and that can be an idol. Social media can definitely be an idol. Or even school, getting into the right college or getting all A's, or maybe being the popular one at school, or I don't know, being in school can be an idol. And also, last but not least, is Greek life. But that's just it for now. The list goes on, and we can literally make anything an idol. It could start off as a good thing, but it can end up being something that we need to check our posture and check our heart and make sure we're not putting time and energy and love towards something more than we put towards our Heavenly Father. And like I said, idols could go, some could be more obvious, but heart idols go even deeper than you think. They're bound up with the deepest emotions and instincts of our heart, and that is what keeps them hidden. So we could have hidden heart idols that are not as obvious as some. And if we're serious about putting God first, we need help in diagnosing what is taking His place in our life. The word says in Exodus 23:3-6, it says, "You must not have any god but me. You must not make yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate affection of any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments." And I love what verse 6 says, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. And I just find that so incredibly wild and beautiful that my choices, my decisions, my choice to live a life devoted to the Lord, or like even idols or strongholds, those things could affect my generations to come, my like children's children's children, those choices that I make could affect generations to come. And so I find that so beautiful and also so convicting that, Lord, I want to live a life devoted to you, and I want to make sure that I don't have idols in my heart that are allowing me not to see you clearly and not to see you purely for who you are, and just putting other things above him, like a boyfriend or food or this podcast, putting things before the Lord. I want my heart to be, my posture to be devoted to him, and other things, like nothing else will satisfy. I want him to be the one that satisfy my longing heart. And I don't know, I found that verse so convicting yet so beautiful. Okay guys, so when thinking of this topic, I thought of a story we taught in kids church coming from 1 Kings 18, and I'm gonna just read a quick summary of the story. And so here's a quick summary of the story. Israel was ruled by many kings who didn't listen to God, but we are going to talk about one king in particular. There was a king named Ahab who built a temple to a false god, Baal. The Lord sent a prophet named Elijah to deliver a message to the king, Ahab, telling him that it wouldn't rain for 3 years. But King Ahab wasn't having it and wanted to kill Elijah. The king believed the God he was serving would make it rain. Fast forward, Elijah ran into hiding for 3 years. There was no rain in Israel, just like Elijah had said. Crops failed, rivers dried up, but God remained faithful to Elijah. King Ahab was desperate. He was like, I need the rain. Israel is in drought. We're drying up. It hasn't rained in 3 years. And his wife, Jezebel, hunted down most of the prophets of God that were left in Israel. In the third year of the drought, God spoke to Elijah again, saying, go speak to Ahab. Then I will send rain on the land. On his way back, Elijah ran into the king Ahab again. King Ahab sent a message throughout the land. And then guys, this is just like a quick summary, so I would definitely advise you to go back and read 1 Kings for chapter 20 to really like dig in the scripture. It's in the Old Testament. So King Ahab sent a message throughout the land, and the Israelites gathered on Mount Carmel along with 450 Baal prophets of Baal. Elijah was the only prophet of the Lord, and Baal had 450 prophets. The prophet, so just a little quick like visual thing. So Elijah was by himself. He was the only one after God, only one who believed in God, only one who, the only one who trusted God. And there were 450 prophets on the false God side, Baal. And so it was one against 450. The prophets of Baal prepared a bull as a sacrifice and placed it on the altar for Baal. Morning until noon, the prophet stands around the altar, calling on their false god. The prophets of Baal dance harder and shout it louder all throughout the afternoon, longing for a sign, which I thought was so funny. Like, they're dancing, they're singing, they're shouting for 12 hours straight, or even probably even longer. I don't really know. But they're dancing, they're shouting, waiting for a sign from their false god, Baal. Meanwhile, Elijah's like, he's had enough because, like, this is ridiculous, basically. And so Elijah took 12 stones to rebuild an altar to God. Then he took the Baal and made a deep trench around the altar. He turned to several Israelites and said, fill jugs of water and pour it on the altar. The wood became so wet it began to overflow. Elijah began to pray to God, "Lord, let everyone know that you're the one and true God." And Elijah prayed for God to turn their hearts. There was a long moment of silence. Everyone waited, and then fire struck down from heaven and filled the altar. People fell on their faces. Elijah turned to Ahab, and for the first time in 3 years, water started to appear from the sky. And people fell to their faces and began to worship the one and true God. I love this story because it shows how God will always have first place and how he holds all power and authority. Like, God hold, like, the Baal, the fake false God had no power, he had no authority, and I love how it shows that God is superior and how God has all power and authority. And it also shows how he keeps his word and how he has the power to change the hardest of hearts and the darkest hearts. And so I believe the story also shows how we must lay down our idols at the feet of Jesus to see him clearly. He must become our first love. And he must become our first love again and again and again and again and again. We live in a world where sexual things or money or even drugs or even just like culture and celebrities and all of those things are, yes, they could be fulfilling, but, and we could place those things above the Lord, but we will be lost. We will be left feeling depressed or alone or just lost in confusion. But God wants us to turn our hearts, turn our gaze towards him and follow him and pit him before we pit the girl on TikTok or the guy who's texting us, or pit him before everything in our lives. He's a jealous God, and so he wants all of our attention, all of our love, all of our affection should go to him first. And just like marriage, I'm not married, but I do know this, that when it comes to marriage, God should be first. It shouldn't be a spouse, then the family, then God. That goes for anything. It should always be the Lord. It should be the spouse, and then it should be the children. It should never be school, then God, then my relationship, or even in a relationship currently, it shouldn't be boyfriend, then it should school, then ministry, then God. God should always be the frontier of your heart, the first in your life, and your first love. He should always be the one where all of your time and all of your energy and all of your thoughts are being devoted to him. And yes, this is easier said than done, and we're humans, we're not perfect, but I believe that there's a heart of repentance that is important when it comes to this. And so, yes, you're not perfect, and yes, you're not going to always get it right, but God sees that. He sees your heart, and he sees your posture, and so just keep that in mind when you're, living and walking through life daily. So with that being said, friends, I want to share some things that you could do when you become aware that you may have an idol or that there may be idols in your heart. And so, and even just kind of like walk you through what to do or what that looks like. And so the first thing I would do when you become aware that you have idols in your life is to repent. And so basically just say this simple prayer asking the Lord to forgive you and repenting from what you're repenting from, and ask the Holy Spirit to help lead you and guide you in following God and using his Spirit to teach you how to pit the Lord first and to flee from things that you pit before him. And so it can look like this. Lord, I thank you, God, for making me aware of what true repentance looks like, for making me aware of the things that I've placed before you. I ask that you forgive me for placing social media before you, Lord, and allowing that to take hold in my heart, and allowing just the attention that I get from that to be greater than the affection and attention that you give me. Lord, I ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to help me and guide me in trusting you and putting you first in my life. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. So, guys, it can be as simple as that, or you can even Google some, or just talk to God about it. He cares, he listens, and he knows you better than you know yourself and better than I know you. And so it could look different for anyone. And so that would be the first thing I would do is repent. And ask God for forgiveness. And also just depending on him and submit to him. Submit to his ways. And you can also know what his ways are by reading his word. And rest believing on him and express our faith and repentance in prayer, like I just said. So express your faith by repenting and being in prayer with him, being in communion with him. And lastly, there must be a delight in him and constant fellowship. So delight in the Lord. Bring the Lord into your daily walk, your daily life. And so when you're driving, maybe turn on some worship music or pray while you're driving, or just and invite him into your day, invite him into your life. And so delight in him, allow him to delight in you as well. And yeah, and so as we close, I want to leave you with these questions to ponder on throughout your day or throughout the week. So question number one, I want you to think about, who do you respect? What and who are you respecting? You can also identify what you put your confidence in when trouble comes or when you're in distress or pressure. What do you go to? What's the first thing you go to, and that's what you put your confidence in? Number four, think about, what do you fear? What are some things that you fear the most? We may fear people. We may fear men. Like, meaning we may fear, like, people, basically. We may fear people, we may feel certain events, or, like, school, or things like that. And so, what do you fear the most? What do you have reverence to the most? And lastly, question five, what do you serve? And so these are five questions I would love for you guys to think about throughout your week or throughout your day. And so grab your journals and grab your pens and just write down those answers to those questions, and really begin to think and ask God to check your heart and to reveal to you things that are not pleasing to him. And I know I said we were going to be ending soon, but I have one thing I want to talk about. I found this chart and I just kind of want to read it to you guys. It says, anything that means more to me than God, feeling better, relief from pain or suffering, being back to normal, quote unquote, someone or something to change that will make everything all right again or make me feel better, to fix my happiness or to fix myself, or to be happy. And those things all lead to emptiness, anger, lack of contentment, envy, depression, and self-pity. And so as we close out this episode, think about that, write these things down, and really begin to ask the Lord in prayer and throughout your day, ways or things that you've placed before him, and ways that you can just begin to shift your perspective, shift your gaze, and just begin to soften your heart posture to put him first in your life. And so with that being said, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 6 of Abide and Thrive. I pray that this podcast was insightful for you. I pray that you were able to gain some information, and I pray that seeds were planted in your heart. I also want to remind you that you could follow Abide and Thrive Podcast on Instagram at Abide and Thrive Podcast. On Instagram is where I post all things Abide and Thrive, like updates. I post videos there and also some encouraging content. So I pray that you would check that out, and feel free to go to abideandthriveministries.com to stay connected and also stay on top of, like, episodes and all of those things. Lastly, if you guys are enjoying this podcast and if it's been a blessing to you, I would like to encourage you to partner with me and partner with God in advancing this podcast and making it better, so for its sound quality and all things podcast related. And so if you feel led, there will be a link in the description to become a monthly partner to subscribe and give financially and donations to this podcast. And so if you feel led, I will greatly appreciate your support. And I already do appreciate your support. Thank you so much for listening. And guys, I also want to just give a little disclaimer for the audio in this week's episode. I'm currently out of town, and so I don't have my mic with me. And so the sound sounds kind of fuzzy. Please forgive me. Next week will be much better. But I thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I pray you have a great day. Thanks for tuning in to Abide and Thrive podcast, and I'll see you guys in episode 7. Bye!